I don't even know why I put this computer because I don't use it anyway. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, in humbleness we come in your presence and we thank you for Jesus and we thank you for his soon coming and for the undeserved privilege to work with him for precious souls that will be in eternity saved. Right now, Father, we pray that you will be the one to open the word and open the hearts and the minds and bring transformation and eternal results. Only you can do that. We ask your spirit, we ask your presence in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Imagine if everyone in the Adventist church, over 22 million people, will get or would get involved, and everyone would be willing to sacrifice everything, no reservation. And everyone would make God everything, the priority, the center, everything. Can you imagine what would happen in our churches? Man, I cannot see you. I need wipers to my glasses. And why don't people sacrifice self when God did sacrifice self? When we know very clear that unless we die to self, we will never produce any fruit. We know that, don't we? Why don't we sacrifice self? Why don't our church members do that? Now you don't need this sermon because you are holy people, but the others do need it. And so why don't people do that? I tell you my opinion. I am not sure I am right. Usually I think I am right, but my wife says differently. I tell you my opinion. It's easy to replace love and sacrifice with a set of forms. You go to church, you keep Sabbath, you know the state of the dead. Very sad, we don't know the state of the living, but anyway. You know the state of the dead, you know the 2300 days and night prophecy. You eat broccoli, you get involved in this and you sing in the choir and you teach Sabbath school and go to camp meeting, come on. You follow me? And we have created our own set of rules. And Ellen White says, and I do have the quotation, that we confuse dedication with a set of forms. The quotation, I said it in my words, but I do have it in my presentation that refers to the 10 virgins that I am not going to do tonight. I was planning to, but I don't have time. But in that presentation, if you listen online, I give the quotation, I give the page where she says that we got to the point that confuse forms with real dedication. And because we do a set of forms, it makes us feel okay, feel secure. And that's the reason when Jesus comes very soon, he's going to say, I don't know you. Because we also confuse forms with relationship. And they say, Lord, we have been going to church. Yes, you did. Lord, we, you know, ate broccoli. We went to camp meeting. And they don't understand. He says, I don't know you. There is no relationship. I don't know you. I don't know you. Did you hear the song, Lord, I want to know you more? Why don't people commit fully? Because they don't know God. And that's the reason they don't trust God. They would rather trust self. That's crazy. To rather trust self than to trust God. That's literally crazy. But Satan makes us crazy, blind. And people tell me, Pastor, I have been praying for a month and nothing happened. And I tell them, try to breathe only for a month and then stop and see what happens. Because prayer is the breath of the soul. You stop breathing, you die. Why would you stop praying? And going forward with this thought, every time when you start to pray, and to seek God and to get closer to Him and to desire to know Him more and to serve Him. Things don't get better. If you do nothing, things get better. When you want to serve, things get worse. If you don't get attacked, then you need to wonder if you do something good. When you get attacked, that's a good sign. I don't remember anybody among the people of faith in the Bible that was not attacked. Joseph was put in prison, sold by his own brothers. Daniel, slave in Babylon. Do you think it was easy? Oh, we talk about Daniel, so wonderful. Put yourself in his shoes. Moses, do you think it was easy? Abraham, and whoever you want to name, Paul, Peter, do you think it was easy? I'm not going to give the sermon anyway, but I want to share with you just a little of our history, just about 4 hours, don't worry. I'm going to be foolish for a second. I'm going to be crazy for a second. You know, a bachelor in construction, law school, theology, and a master in communication, and a master in theology, and a doctorate in... And you see what I'm saying? I was educated. And then a business in glass, and then a business in photo lab and Photoshop. Very profitable, when I say very, more than people imagine. And then a business in measurements, surveying, topometry, topography, and then a business in construction, and then a business in musical instruments, and then a business in clothing making, a sewing factory, that we started from zero, and we got to the degree that when the salary was in Romanian money, 1,600 to 2,000 a month, we were making 70,000 a day, if you grasp that. Not 1,000 or 2,000 a month, but 70,000 a day. Having a plane that would pick me up every Thursday going to Bucharest, and then 2-3 18-wheelers driving filled with cloth, going to our factory, and then selling in Romania, in Germany, in Belgium, and so on and so forth. I had a contract for 1.5 million with Germany, a contract. You get the picture? And that was Deutschmark in that time. There was no euros in that time. So I knew the prime minister, I knew the mayor of the city, I knew the chief of police. Everybody knew me. Everybody, you have money, you have connections, you have power. You follow me? And we had to give up all of that when God called us. And I remember, I'm going to jump 10 years forward. I remember a classmate in Andrews said to me, I was hungry. I didn't eat for 5 days. You may not know what it means not to eat for 5 days, but for me, that's the end of the world. I eat every 4 hours, you know. And so I was hungry. I didn't eat for 5 days. And I would go to a corner in snow. My shoes were broken. I was wet and frozen. And Mr. Trickett, anybody knows who Mr. Trickett was? Mr. Trickett was an old man that would come with a Ford big van, and he would bring from grocery stores expired cans. And I would stay in line in snow to get 4 green beans cans. And I would go home and eat them. And I was like, I'm so hungry. After 5 days, finally, I got some green beans. And now going back, when you have so much money and the conference calls you and says, we think we want you to be in ministry. And my wife and I talk and say, 70,000 a day, 1,600 a month. What should we do? That night before the conference called us, I got another contract to Germany and one with Holland. And so 3 more millions a month would come. And we said, what should we do? And I remember when my father told me, regardless how much money you have, you still have one stomach. You get the point? You cannot fill 2 stomachs because you have only one. And he said, God will always fill that stomach. You don't need to worry. He fed Elijah, he fed Israel, he can feed you. You don't have to wonder, where do you go, what do you do? Go wherever God leads and trust in him. So fast forwarding, let's follow the call. We got into ministry. Then I'm going to jump over. If you read my book, you know it. You know the stories. I can take a break. You can tell the stories. But and so, Fast forward. I want you to go to a school that is really good seminary. So I applied to all the schools in Europe. Nobody answered. Because God's plans are far from your plans. And many times, when you want something, God says no. And when you give it up, God says yes. And before you learn to give it up, you never get it. I don't know if you follow me. You never get what you want. You get only what you give up. I don't know how to explain it. Who wants to save his life, he's going to lose it. And who is willing to lose it, he's going to save it. So whatever you keep, you lose. And whatever you give to God, that's what is blessed. I don't know if you follow my... If you don't, I will pray for you. Anyway, and so we thought about it. Let's go to school. We applied. Nobody answered. We prayed. My wife even fasted. Nobody answered. I put my car for sale. I had an expensive, nice car for Romania. People would come and look. Oh, that's an expensive car. Anyway, I put my car for sale. It was in perfect shape. People came. How much do you want? I told them the value. They said, can you start it? It has never happened before. I would just touch the key. It would not start. People said, garbage. It just looks good, but it's rotten. It's bad. They left. I tried. It started. I said, come back. Come back. They came. Watch. Watch. Oh, I got so angry. I forgot that now I'm a pastor. I got outside the car and I started to kick the wheels. And I said, you stupid car, I want to sell you because I want to go to school and you don't start. And my wife says, calm down, you are a pastor now. And she said to me, what if God doesn't want you to go to school? But I want to go to school. And she says, it's what you want or what he wants. So I gave up selling the car. I took the sign for sale. I went home. I gave up school. I gave up seminary. I just kept working. And my wife comes to me reading a paragraph that if we are faithful in small daily things, then God is going to give us bigger things, you know. And she says, stop worrying for school. Just be faithful in what you do daily. Do it as you do it for God. Do it perfect. Commit yourself to small things. Be faithful. I hate small things. And I started to pray that God makes me faithful to the degree that I don't worry for the future. I just worry to obey Him today. And as I was praying, it was 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. I forgot about school. I didn't even think about school. 6 months, somebody knocks in the door. I open the door. Do I know you? No. Then what do you want? He says, I want to buy your car. I said, I'm not selling the car. I need the car. He says, well, I want to buy the car. My wife wants it. She likes the color, so she's not going to be happy if I go home without the car. Give me the car. He said, nope. I said, how do you know about the car? Well, 6 months ago, it was in the newspapers. And yesterday, she was starting the fire in the fireplace with all newspapers, and she saw the car and she liked it. I said, not for sale. Bye. He left. He lived in a different city, far away. A city that is 1.5 million people. I didn't have his name, his email, his telephone, his address, nothing. I didn't know who he is. He leaves. And then I go pick up the mail. And it's a letter from Southern Adventist University. But the devotional in the morning was Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. Because God has a plan for everybody. It doesn't say, I know the plan, singular. Oh, it's about the plan of salvation. It says the plans. And it refers to daily ongoing plans. And Ellen White says that Jesus made no plans for him. Who knows the quotation? Yeah. Jesus made no plans for himself, but every morning he received the plan from the Father. And then she says, so should we give up our plans, present them before the Lord, ready to fulfill them or to surrender them according to his will, and then receive his plan for the day and trust that he will provide. Whoa, to give up my plans? Come on. You understand? And so back to the story. That's one of the reasons people have no stories. Because they have their plans. You want God's blessing for your plan instead of seeking God's plan to get his blessing. You follow me? Stop asking God to bless your plan. Seek his plan and then you get a blessing. Amen. And so I got a letter. The Bible verse devotional in the morning was Jeremiah 29:11. The letter from Southern says, we have accepted you in the theology program. We'd like you to come. And then at the end of the letter, it says, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. And my wife says, God has a plan for you. And she says, that's the reason the man came to buy the car. We need money for plane tickets and for the visa. I said, he left. I don't even know this man. She says, let's pray. And I said, you pray. And she says, Lord, very simple. If you want us to leave, we leave. Send him back. We don't know him. We cannot even call him. We don't know who he is. If you want us to stay, don't send him back. 2 hours later, he knocks in the door. My wife sent me back. We sold the car. We borrowed the head elder car. We drove the whole night, went to the American embassy. 957 people ahead of me in the line. We were there at 3 a.m. There were 900, over 9, close to 1,000 people ahead of me. And until morning when they opened the embassy, the line went around the block, around the block, around the block. I don't know, 1,000, 2,000, 100,000 people. I have no clue. But the point is that 5 people got visa that day. My family, 4 and another one. And my wife got cold feet at the embassy. She says, whoa, to go in a different country in America. If we would go to Austria or Germany, you know, Bogenhofen or Friedensau or Newbold or Cologne, or it's close here, you know, it's just a drive. But America? And we don't even know English. Do you know English? I said, 5 words, yes, no, thank you, bye. We don't even know English. How? We don't know anybody. We don't have money. We don't have the business anymore. And she says, honey, I started to be afraid. I said, well, you told me to sell the car. And she says, we really need to make sure that God sends us. Otherwise, I am not willing to leave our house, our friends, and just start life all over again. Go like crazy somewhere. And so we prayed, Lord, we are going to make it impossible for you to send us there. We are going to make everything we can so we don't go. But if you want us to go, you need to really open the doors. So I got inside the embassy, and people are going to the windows. There were 5 windows, and the consuls, negative. Next one, please let me go. Next, negative, negative. I said, this is easy. I went to the window, and he says, what do you want? I said, duh, I'm in an American embassy. This is not French embassy. I said, I want to go to America. He says, why? To go to school. Don't you have schools here? Nah, not good. He says, how do I know that you don't come back? I said, you don't? Are you coming back? I said, I don't know. Then I cannot let you go. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Bye. He says, oh, come back. I said, why? He says, you paid $120 to enter the gate. Everybody paid that fee. That was the rule. To enter the American embassy, you pay 100, and that was 2 months' salary. You paid 2 months' salary to enter, and you don't want a visa? Yes. He said, but you didn't have to come, and then you don't pay the money. I said, well, I don't want to be Jonah, you know, to fight against God's will. God says, go there, and I go there, you know. I just came to do my part, but I really hope that you don't give me visa. And he says, you are crazy. I said, we don't have an argument there. Everybody says that. I am okay with it. And he says, again, what do you want? Why do you go? I said, I'm not going to repeat again. If you don't have memory, bad for you. Take some pills. Sleep better. Take melatonin. Do something. He says, you told me you go to school. I said, you see, you have memory. He says, you go to school? Yes. Can you promise you come back? No. Then I don't give you visa. Thank you. He says, please promise. I said, no. What if God wants me to stay? What if God says go to Africa? I follow God's plan. I cannot promise anything because I don't know what is tomorrow. Why would I promise something that I don't know? He says, why do you go to school? I said, I told you, so I'm not going to repeat. You said you want to be a good pastor. You see, you have memory. He says, I don't want to fight God's plan. Whoa. The consul to me. He says, what if God does send you to America? He says, we send missionaries everywhere, but nobody comes to us. And he says, I'm going to do something. I give you visa without your family to make sure that you come back to your children and your wife. I said, nope, what God put together, nobody should separate. I said, not going to happen. All or nobody. All for one, you remember? He said, I cannot give you visa. Bye. And I left. He says, come back. He said, I'm going to do something that I never do. Give you visa for the whole family. I said, please, no. He gave us visa. I went outside. My wife was praying in the car. Lord, please, unless you want it, please don't give us visa because I am afraid to start life again. We already are set. We have all we need. And I don't want to describe our house and everything that we had. But we had, if you see the pictures, the house was like a square with fountain and yard in the middle. And I don't want to go to the details. And so she says, I don't want to start all over again. And folks, it's wonderful when you follow God's plan. Let me explain how wonderful it is. We got here and our sponsor that promised to pay our school, a week later had a heart attack. And he was dead for 9 minutes. And they brought him back with electric shocks. But he lost his memory. He lost his business. He lost his house. He lost his truck. He lost his boat. He didn't even remember who I am. He didn't remember even his wife. So here we are in a strange country with strange people, no offense, that speak a strange language. And moreover, in Southern, some of them have that accent. Wow, wow, wow. It's like they swallow half of the words. I stopped at the gas station and they were speaking like, honey, we will never learn this. I would rather learn Japanese. And so we are in a strange country and God brought us here to kill us. Because when you follow God, things really get bad. God told Joseph, I'm going to put you over your brothers and put him in prison. God told Moses, you are going to deliver my people and put him behind sheep for 40 years. 40, not 4, 40. You follow me? When you follow God's plan, he's going to ruin you. He's going to destroy you. And I said, why in the world did we obey? Well, God is trying to kill us. And then we got a letter from school that they are going to expel us from school because I didn't pay tuition. We got a letter from the housing that they are going to kick us out, evict from the apartment because we didn't pay rent. We got a letter from the electricity. They are going to cut the power. A letter from, you get the picture. And then I got allergies from head to toes. I could not even put my fingers together because I had spots on all my body. And I don't know if you remember, doctor, but I came here to Wildwood when I had my allergies. And I came here. Because I went to the doctors and they gave me so much prednisone and still it didn't work. And I could not eat anything except potatoes and lettuce. And I would scratch and my body was burning. And I could not sleep 1 hour in the night and I was crying the whole night. And I was walking to school because I didn't have a car. I was using the car of the apostles because I didn't have a car, just walking, you know. And I would go to school and Dr. Blanco, wonderful person, and Dr. Cluzet and Dr. Morris and Dr., you know, they were talking Japanese for me. I didn't understand a word from their classes. And so here I am in a new country, no money, no insurance, kicked out from the apartment, no food, 2 small children with me. Why would God do that to somebody? Because I never wanted to come here to begin with. I had a good life there. Because God cannot use you before you learn to fully surrender and fully trust. It's not what you do that will ever give you any success. It's only when you fully surrender and he fully controls. Amen. And that's what we refuse to get because we are too self-centered. We are willing to surrender 50, 80, 89, 90%. But we never want to let it go. We love self way too much. And we love self because we have not yet learned to trust God. And we have not yet learned to trust God because we don't know him. We don't get the cross. We don't understand what God has done for us and what he is going to do for us. We don't have a glimpse, a drop of what Calvary means or what heaven means. Because if God would give us a peek in heaven, just pull the curtain, take a look. You'll say, whoa, I'm happy to die. We live for this when we think this is it. This is garbage. We are totally blind, deaf, We have horse vision. You know those horses that have, because they get scared, they have this? That's what we see. And we think, this is the world. That's not the world. You follow me? And so I was desperate. I hated America. I hated people. I hated God. I was hungry. I was sick. I didn't want to pray. I said, God destroyed our life. And I remember walking to the school, to Southern Adventist University, and walking right before the seminary, it was the Garden of Prayer. Who knows that? Yeah. And there was a big trunk, and there was background music. And I stopped there, and I put my hand on the trunk of the tree, and I started to cry. And I was breaking, crying and breaking, because I had several nights of no sleep, several days of no food. And I prayed, and God didn't seem to answer. Basically, He didn't seem to care. He was maybe in vacation or he was asleep. I don't know. That's what we think. I prayed, Pastor, and God doesn't answer. Did it ever occur to you that that is an answer? Amen. And so I prayed there and I said, Lord, why do you do that? And somebody came and knocked me on the back with a big pff. Young man, why are you crying? I turned around. It was Dr. Blanco. I cleaned my eyes. I got straight. I said, I never cry. Because we have our pride and our dignity. You follow me? That's the reason we suffer, because we are proud. If we are humble, we would not have to suffer. You know, I'm somebody. Don't you argue with me, you know, who I am. And anyway, and so I'm not crying. He said, yes, you do. And now I don't. Yes, you do. I heard you. Oh, that's allergy. He said, you are too proud. I said, me proud, I am humble. And he says, why are you crying? I was quiet. He says, well, whatever you go through, God is working on you. I said, well, thank you. He said, well, I will pray for you. I said, yeah, that's easy. He left. Next Sabbath, Friday night, I collapsed next to the bed. And I cried the whole night and prayed, Lord, I just don't know what to do anymore. I always in my life had a solution. I always succeeded. Whatever I put in my mind, I did it. I did it perfect. This time, I just cannot do it. And I cried and I prayed the whole night. And eventually that night, I fully surrendered. And I said, I give up. If you want to kill me, kill me. I tried everything. I just don't know what to do. I just don't have a solution. I don't have a way. I just don't know where to go. I don't even have money to go back to Romania. By the way, when we left, everybody, church members, relatives, enemies, everybody came and wanted something from us. Can I have the washer? Can I have the dryer? Can I have the car? Can I have the TV? Can I have the furniture? Until our house was literally not even carpet, just walls. They took everything. Oh, you go to America. Can I have this? Can I say, have it? You know. So we have nothing to go back. We have no money for trip. I said, Lord, I surrender entirely. I give my life. If you want me to die, I don't care anymore. I die. If you want me to live, I live. If I just let you do whatever you want, because I am at the end. I hit the bottom. And I just broke and I cried the whole night, and it was 5 a.m. I was still praying. That Sabbath I went to church, and Dr. Ed Wright, Pastor Wright, was the pastor of the Collegedale Church. Who remembers when he was a pastor there? He started the sermon with Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. And by that time, it was already 2-3 months in the U.S. My wife and I knew a little English. We talked more with our hands than our mouth, but nevertheless, we did understand. And so when he started that Bible verse, my wife grabbed my hand and said, this sermon is for us, honey. And we listened. And he said, God called Moses. But before God could use Moses, God had to break Moses, because Moses was a stubborn man. And he said, God can never use you before you fully surrender, before you die to self. As long as you are alive, God will not use you. If you wonder why God doesn't use you, it's because you are still alive and in control. You are not willing to die to self. Oh, he hit the nail right in the head. You know what that means. And then he said, God allowed Moses to be broken, to go in the wilderness, to be a shepherd that in that time didn't even have the right to vote, was nobody. A shepherd was nobody, was not a human being, was between humans and animals, somewhere in the middle. God allows Moses to be a shepherd, to be nobody, not for 1 or 2 or 3 years, 40 years, that's a life. 40 years. And then Moses finally gave up to his pride and his knowledge and his education and everything. When God undid everything that Moses built, then God could be somebody. As long as Moses was somebody, God was nobody. When Moses was nobody, God was somebody. And then God called him, and Moses, before, I can deliver Israel. Moses said, now, I am not able. And God said, now, finally, you are able. And the pastor was going on and on and on preaching. You know, I'm preaching you his sermon, so it's easy. And so he said, Moses didn't even trust himself anymore. Said, Lord, I cannot do it. Look for somebody better. God loves those who are dependent on him. Yeah. And God said, if I send you, I, God, will be with you. Why should you be afraid? If God is with you, who can be against you? And Moses said, I don't know the tongue. And my wife looks to me and says, we don't know English. And God said to him, who made the tongue? I don't know the Egyptian English. God says, who made the tongue? But I don't have money. And my wife says, we don't have money now. And God said to Moses, what do you have? A stick? Use that. And the pastor said, when God sends you, use whatever you have. And in God's hand, it's going to be blessed. And he went on and on and on through all my questions that I prayed that night, answering picky details to every single one that I prayed that night. I said, Lord, I don't have money anymore. I don't know English. And every question, the pastor said it. Isn't that something? When he was done, my wife and I were speechless. We said, you know what? God literally wants to break us in order to use us. And the fact that he didn't answer our prayer about apartment, about school, about money, it was actually an answer. A blessing. Hmm. That's a painful lesson. Who wants to learn? Me. Are you sure? He finished the sermon. We exited the church. We shook the hand. Left home. Thursday night, somebody knocks in the door. We didn't even have furniture. Come on. We slept on the floor. Literally, we ate on the floor. We didn't have chairs or a table or nothing. Just a blanket and some books. Somebody knocks in the door. I open the door. Pastor Ed Wright. I said, come in. He came in. I said, sit down. He looks around. I said, I meant down. He smiled. He sat down. I sat down like Turkish people, you know. Anyway, not yoga. Don't worry. And so he says, Dr. Blanco talked to me. He said, I found him crying in the garden. I did some research. His sponsor had a cardiac arrest. So instantly, he's in a new country without anything. And Dr. Blanco and I talked, and we talked to the board. And Dr. Blanco is going to pay your tuition for 1 year on the condition that you finish school in 1 year, bachelor in 1 year. If you don't, next year he will pay for it. And also on the condition that you get straight A's, when you get a B, he's going to stop paying. With my English? And he said, we decided, the church, that we are going to pay your apartment or your insurance on the same condition. For 1 year, straight A's. He said, do you want anything? I said, no, I actually didn't ask for anything. But thank you. And I put my knee down and I said, Lord, now I know that you have a plan. So every page for whatever, computers and any class, church ministry, preaching, you know, every page when I would read, I learned on my knees, literally, physically, next to the bed, reading a little words in English and saying, Lord, would you give me memory and wisdom? And I finished, I graduated, I got 27 credits first semester, 22 second, 17 summer, graduated in 1 year, magna cum laude, straight A's. When the grades came, I looked straight A's. I didn't expect that. I kneeled down. I said, Lord, I think they sent it to a wrong address. They should have sent it to you because this is your grades. And they came back to me, Dr. Blanco and Dr. Ed Wright. And they said, we are impressed. We are going to repeat the thing. We are going to pay 1 year for Andrews if you do the same. I said, deal. One year in the summer, graduated from Andrews. Same story. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you how we moved. Isn't that something? We already got some furniture from Samaritan Center. Who knows Samaritan Center? You know, got some furniture, you know. It was wonderful, our first furniture in America. And we got a table and a desk and a few chairs and a lot of books, boxes and boxes of books. Anyway, finished the whole summer classes, and then I had 1 week until Andrews would start classes. So I called them. I said, I need an apartment. I'm coming. And they said, yeah, it's a 6 month waiting list. I said, no, I need it next week. They said, good luck. We are not going to get anybody out to get you in. 6 months, and then you get an apartment. I said, hey, if God wants me to get an apartment, I'm going to get one. Bye. And then I got a letter from the school. You need to move out because the new students came. Mr. Ralph, our friend, said, you can come stay with me for a week until you go to Andrews. Put your stuff in my garage. We went there, and then we prayed. But we didn't have a driver license. We didn't have a credit card. And we could not rent a U-Haul because you need money and the credit card and the driver license, and we had neither. So we prayed, Lord, if you want us to go to Andrews, we don't have to stress anymore. Because we know if you want us to go, we go. We remember how we sold the car. You know, we remember how we... And if you don't want us to go, it's okay. We stay here. We don't care anymore. We don't make plans anymore. Whatever you want, it's you. Do it. We'll go wherever you send us. We'll do whatever you want. If you want us to die, joyfully. Just tell us what to do and we do it. And Mr. Ralph got a phone call from Florida. He says, I'm Russell. I'm a driver on an 18-wheeler. The Florida conference paid me to move two pastors to Andrews, but your grandma sent a little table, so I'm going to stop in College Dale to drop the table. And Ralph says, do you have room for a Romanian family that has a little furniture? No. I already loaded one pastor half of my 18-wheeler, and he put more than half. These pastors have a lot of stuff. I don't have room. The other one has a lot of stuff. I'm not sure if I can load all his stuff. Okay. 7 hours later, he stops at Mr. Ralph's driveway. It was heavy, 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 heavy rain, pouring like under the fire hose. And so the truck driver stops and he says, you know, the second pastor changed his mind. He doesn't go to Andrews. He says he goes next year, so half of my truck is empty. So I am willing to take that Romanian family. But the problem is, your garage is far, the driveway is long, and my truck is long, I cannot get it there. And if they move the furniture and the books through this rain, within 3, 4, 5 feet, everything is going to be ruined, the books and everything. And I cannot wait 5 hours until the rain stops. I got to be in Andrews tomorrow morning. So I'm sorry, but I cannot wait. I said, hold on! He says, why? I got down, my wife and I, on our knees in the street, behind the 18-wheeler. And we said, Lord, if you want us to move, would you please stop the rain? And the rain stopped. Across the street, it was a retired pastor. I'm not going to tell you his name. Short guy like Danny DeVito. Short, short. And his garage door was open. He was watching. Pavel, don't move your books. You are going to ruin them. I said, don't you worry. We pray. The rain stopped. He says, whoa, the rain stopped. We started to load. We loaded. Not too long. We didn't have much. 1 hour and a half, 2 hours. All done. In the second, in the split of the second, in the fraction of a second, when the driver closed the back doors, it started to rain. By the way, the driver says, where am I going to put your furniture? Tell me the address of your apartment. I said, we don't have an apartment. He says, what am I going to do with your furniture? I said, I don't know yet. I said, I am waiting from God. And my God never answers early, unfortunately. And the guy says, you are crazy. I said, not me. I said, it's God's wisdom and we don't get it. We think he's crazy, but he's not, you know. He's just... He says, either you are crazy or you have a lot of faith. I said, I think the first... And he says, you better call me. Otherwise, I'm going to rent a storage and put it there. We prayed the whole night. In the morning, at 7 a.m., a phone call from Andrews that a guy from Africa had to go back home and the apartment is empty. So we called the driver. He had half an hour more to drive to Andrews, and we gave him the address. Anyway, going back, when the rain stopped, Mr. almost said his name, the retired short pastor, He was looking, wow! The driver closed the doors and the rain started. In that moment, the retired pastor started to jump. Wow! 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 And he was kind of expressing his emotions. And he left and he went to the next house. A retired teacher, white, nice house. And he says, I got to tell you, I cannot help. I just got to tell you what I've seen. I've watched with my eyes. And he told the story. And then he went to the next house, and then he went across the street, and then he got back. And I said, why do you do that? And he says, I just cannot help myself. He says, I've never seen that. We live in this country. We have everything. We are never challenged, so we never really pray. And he says, I've never seen that. And he said, I wish I had your experience. I said, what you wish is actually that you don't have food and a driver license and a credit card, and that's what you wish. You know? And he said, didn't think about that. And I said, why do you tell everybody? And he said, I cannot help. I've seen it with my own eyes. And it occurred to me, why don't we get excited about our gospel, the good news? Because we have not seen it. We have not experienced it. We have not lived it. We don't get it. John says, what I've seen with my eyes, what I've experienced, what I've touched, that's what I tell you. We have not seen it. We have not touched it. It's just a lot of theory called not moving, not heart-changing theory. And God wants you to live it, to experience it, to know Him, to go through it, and then you can tell others. There is nothing to tell if you have not seen it. Jesus says, you are my witnesses. I've never heard of anybody being a witness in the court of law to tell what somebody told somebody who told somebody who told the lady who told him. You need to witness it to be a witness. And we have no power, we have no passion, we have no desire, because we have not experienced it. And then we say, Lord, help me experience it. And God says, wonderful, I'm going to send you a challenge, a crisis. And when the crisis comes, say, Lord, would you remove the crisis? Because we don't understand that character is built in fire. Humility is learned in fire. Dependence is learned in crisis. Surrender is learned in crisis. And we all want big stories, but we are not willing to go through crisis. You follow me? And we will go through the final crisis. But if you run away from every little crisis today, you'll never grow to face the biggest crisis. You will not get oil the night before the second coming in your lamps. You will not prepare for the Olympics the night before the Olympics. You will not prepare for the final medical school exam the night before. You will not prepare for the war the night before. Why would you think you prepare for the greatest crisis in history the night before? And God wants you to go through crisis today. And we want anything but crisis. And every time we hit a crisis, we say, Lord, would you please solve it? And God says, all things work together. Instead of saying, Lord, if you allowed it, it means I need it. Amen. Would you help me grow? Amen. Would you, who allowed it, God is in control. He knows everything. He knows when you sing in the shower, that terrible voice, you know. God knows everything. If He knows and He allowed it in His wisdom, it means you need it. Amen. Why would you pray that He removes it? That means to put your wisdom and comfort above God's wisdom. If Jesus suffered, who do you think you are not to suffer? God didn't call you to comfort. God called you to suffering. Look in the Bible. All of them have suffered. And that's the reason they have a big story. People want stories and miracles, but they don't want to suffer or sacrifice. Hello? Did you hear what I said? God calls you to total commitment, full sacrifice. You need to be a living sacrifice. Amen. And so when the crisis comes, you better kneel down and say, Lord, thank you. Because we are to rejoice even in our, what does the Bible say? Sufferings. Oh, that's kind of, we have read the Bible verse, don't we? We just don't like it. We don't preach about it. Kneel down and say, Lord, I don't get it. I don't know what is going on in my life. This is a big crisis. It hurts me like crazy. But I know that you are in control. And I know that you have a purpose. So whatever lesson I need to learn in order to be useful, used, saved, please help me learn the lesson. Because if you don't learn the lesson, you have to repeat the crisis. You have to repeat the class. It's better to learn, graduate, move on. Help me to learn. Help me to grow. Help me to be humble. That's hurtful. It's easy to learn prophecy. It's not easy to be humble. Help me to be humble. We always want to show what we know who we are. God wants us to be humble. Help me to be humble. Help me to trust in you. Help me to be nobody. You shall increase, I shall decrease. Make me nobody. Who prays that prayer? Who desires that? What's wrong with you? Are you crazy to pray that prayer? But that's what God is trying to do. Because before you learn that, he can never use you, not even save you. Folks, this is not a sermon, don't worry. And I'm not going to preach the sermon. I'm just saying that God is calling us to absolute sacrifice. Amen. Nothing shorter than that is acceptable. And if you are not willing to do that, church is not your place. God is calling you to that type of love. Real love sacrifices itself joyfully for the object of the love. God is calling you to real love. That means real joyful sacrifice for him. And only when you understand the cross, only when you understand what God has done on the cross for you, then you will be willing to do the same for him. And you will consider it a privilege. And you will not question, what's going to happen to me if I give up this or that? You will not even think about you. You would rather say, Lord, here I am. Me, everything I have, my life, my health, my house, my money, not an object. You don't have second thoughts. If you have second thoughts, whatever you have hard time to surrender, that's your God. That's what you worship. Wherever is your treasure, that's where your heart is. The rich young ruler. I've kept the commandments. I go to church. I eat healthy. And Jesus says, sell everything. You remember the story, don't you? Yeah. That's the key. Give up everything. And if you are not willing to give up everything, you really need to focus on the cross. Because your heart, it means, is not in the right place. And this is not a one-time deal. This is a daily deal. My wife and I have been through so many things, and we still, every time God is asking us to sacrifice another thing, we still struggle, and we still kneel down and say, Lord, if we don't give it, we give you permission, take it from us. Because we don't want to live for self. We committed our life to you. Do whatever you want. I remember, last story, promise I finish. I am picky with my bills. I am so perfectionist, so picky. I've never, ever, ever in my life been late with one bill. Never, trust me. I'm perfect history. If you see the bills and the taxes and the receipts in boxes with dates on the back of the receipts written, what is it's picky. My wife says, you are sick. And so I get my salary. I put the tithe more than 10%. My wife used to pay return 90% tithe and keep 10% in the house. You heard it? That's what my father did all his life. My wife and I, we do more than 10. I'm not going to tell you how much. And then we have a percentage that we do for offerings, and then a percentage that we do for poor, and then a percentage that we do for mission. And whatever is left over, we pay the bills. And I live on a pastor's salary. You should know that's not big, but anyway. And then we pay the bills, and whatever is left over, God applies the chewing gum principle. That means that you can chew it forever. It never ends. God makes it last for the rest of the month. And I put the money aside for bills. I paid my bills. And then I had the tuition money for our kids. And I don't keep them in the house tight, or because if you keep them, they are a temptation. I just send them. That's it. I don't have them. I don't have to worry. So I took the money, got in the van. It was raining. I got around the block, went to school to pay tuition for my kids. And right when to enter the school, there is a young lady crying in the rain. And I recognize her because I baptized her 3 months before. And I said, why are you crying? Why are you in the rain? Get in the van. And she says, I cannot tell you, Pastor. Have you done something bad? No. Then why do you cry? She says, Pastor, they closed the GM plant. 2,500 people were fired. I lost my job. She had two small children. Very small. One was 1 year old, one was three. She says, I lost my job. I didn't pay my apartment rent. The lady kicked me out today. I didn't pay electricity. I had two more potatoes. I went to the neighbor, cooked them, and now I don't know what to do. I don't have where to go. I don't have a place to go. My children come out of school today, and we don't know where to go. And I said, come in the van. And I prayed with her. But that's easy. And God spoke to me. Do you trust me? I said, yes. Give your tuition money to her. I said, no, that's tuition money. I always pay my bills. How am I going to pay tuition? This is allocated for tuition. Not my money, tuition money. And God says, give it to her. And I commanded my hand to go in my pocket, but my hand got stuck straight. My hand would not obey. And God said, didn't you pray in the morning that you want every day of your life, in small things, in big things, to surrender and totally die to self? Didn't you pray that in the morning? I said, yeah, lately it has become like a routine. I don't think it. And God says, it's time for you to die today. I had a hard time. But I said, come with me. I drove the van. I didn't pay tuition. I said, whatever happens, happens. I went to Aldi. You know Aldi store? And I said, do you drink milk? Yes, we do. I said, okay, I put a gallon in the cart for her children. Do you want potatoes? Yes, we need it. I put potatoes, I put onion, I put, you know, rice and this and that. I filled the cart. And she was like, is that for me? I said, yes. And I could see a grin on her face, smiling. I said, when is the last time you ate? And she says, about 3 days ago. And she says, I didn't. I gave all the food to the kids. I didn't eat. And now I have no more food for the kids. I said, are you hungry? She said, yes. I finished shopping, and then I called the landlord. Said, I want you, the money left over after shopping, it's exactly half of what she owns. I'm going to sacrifice half, and you forgive the other half, and let her in for a month, and then she's going to provide the payment for the next month. I cannot do that. If I do that for her, I have to do it for everybody. It's policy. She has to pay. I said, are you a Christian? Yes, and what's the point? I said, well, let me tell you the bad news. You are not a Christian. She said, who do you think you are to tell me? I said, I'm a pastor, and I tell you, you are not a Christian. Because the Bible says, I was in prison, I was in jail, and they said, Lord, well, we have never seen you in jail. And Jesus says, and I said, you don't know that Bible verse, do you? Oh, well, I know it, but I cannot do it. I said, yes, you can. I said, your children are going to be as evil as you are. Because they are monkeys. They don't do what you teach them. They do what they see. And they see you selfish, and they are going to be selfish. You and your family will perish. I said, man, are you crazy? I said, yes, I just tell you what it is. Why would I go around the bushes? You are evil. You are not a Christian. I'm going to find out what church you go to. I'm going to tell your pastor, and then I'm going to call the news and tell about you. She said, you don't do that. I said, I am crazy. Trust me, I do it. He said, what do you want me to do? I already told you. You forgive half. I will do it this month, but not next month. Amen. Bye. Then I call my elders. I said, do you like me? Yes, Pastor. What's the point? I said, do you want to see me this Sabbath? Yes, Pastor. I said, okay, you do what I did. You take your pockets. You don't go in the church pocket. In your pockets, and you put money together, pay her electricity, pay her gas, pay her telephone, pay her food. For a month, we take care of her. I said, if not, you don't have communion next Sabbath, you don't have a sermon, look for a pastor. Why, pastor? Because if you don't live what you preach, you are not a Christian. You don't need a pastor. You need to be baptized again. And they said, okay, pastor, we'll do it. And they did it. And then I talked to her. I said, next month, I don't care for you to get a good job. I want you to get a job. Next month, you pay for you. And after you have a job, then you look for a good job. And I said, next month you come to me and you tell me a name of somebody that is poorer than you and you help somebody. I want you to help somebody because that's what Christianity is. And she did. She found a job and she came and said, I help so and so. But after we did all of that and she was back in the apartment, she came to me and she gave me a big hug and she would not let go. And she was crying and she says, Pastor, today I've seen Jesus in the church. And she says, I always had a job. I never asked for anybody. I didn't even tell you. You found me crying. But she says, what I've seen today in action in our church tells me that Jesus is in our church. I want you folks to know, I went home, I told my wife, honey, I didn't pay tuition. She said, you lost the money. I said, I never lose money. She says, what happened? So I told her the story. My wife gave me the biggest half of our 37 years marriage. And she said, Pastor, now you are a real pastor. I am proud of you. I said, honey, what's going to happen to tuition? She says, trust the Lord. Have you seen how many times he has worked in our life? When you surrender, it's not your business anymore. It's his business. Trust the Lord. 2 p.m., I went to pick up the mail. It was a check from IRS. They said, 4 years ago, you did a mistake in your taxes. This is the money and interest. It was a little more than what I paid that day. Folks, this is not a sermon, but I am just trying to say, what if you, each one of you, would fully surrender daily and put your life entirely in God's hands and say, Lord, here I am, me, my life, my money, my job, my health, my family, it's all yours. I surrender and I am going to let you do whatever you want. Please do what you want. I am going to decide to trust in you. And as you make that decision, you may not understand what is going on, but God loves it. And he, through things that may not seem to connect, he's going to be working on you to teach you this and this and that, to prepare you, because all things work together, to prepare you for God's plan for you. It may take a year, like 40 years, like Moses, or 13 years, like Joseph. Doesn't matter. As long as God is working on you, you are safe. Amen. But you must surrender daily. The reason our members don't have power, don't have victory, don't have a story. They tell me a story that happened 40 years ago when they have been baptized. Tell me a story from last week. Hello, you heard me? Amen. The reason they don't have a story, they don't have victories, they don't have results, they don't have fruits, is because they think they love Jesus, but we love self. And we have hard time to surrender. It's easy to keep Sabbath. Lazy people keep every day. But it's difficult to surrender. God calls you to full, total, daily sacrifice. God calls you to daily self. Don't sacrifice the pastor or the spouse. Self. To self-sacrifice. Are you willing to say yes? Do you trust God's promise that if you die to self, you will live together with him? Do you trust his promise that if you put him first, the other things will be covered above and beyond what you can even ask? My wife and I look back, the time in Southern and the time in Andrews that we thought we suffered is the most blessed time of our life. Without that time, God could have never used us. And periodically, when I get a big head and I am proud of an accomplishment, God hits me in the head and teaches me again to be humble and to surrender, because it's not about me. It's all about him. It's not about you. It's not. We are nobody. We are nothing. Without Jesus, we have nothing to brag. It's all about him. It's Amen. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. Are you willing to say today, I surrender? And tomorrow again, Lord, here I am. I surrender. Are you willing to do that? May God bless you richly. As you surrender daily and follow his plan, not your plans. You may say, what's going to happen to my plan? None of your business. Jesus is coming soon. Everything is going to be consumed in fire. Economy probably drops very soon. Whatever you have, you may not have. Trust in Him, because that's all you have. It's Him. Trust in Him with all your heart. Do not lean in your logics or calculus or plans. Do not lean in what you plan, because your plans may go totally different than what you think. Trust in Him. Learn to. It's so sweet to trust in Jesus. It's so sweet. It gives you peace. It gives you joy. It gives you victory. It allows Him to work. Trust in Him, not in self. I had quite a few more stories to tell you, but my time is up long ago. Why don't we get again together, groups of two or three, not more than three. Pray short. Don't start at Adam and finish at Revelation. Pray short. You want to pray long, you pray at home. Here, pray short, okay? Pray short and say, Lord, it's better if you get in families or close friends groups. Say, Lord, help us to fully surrender. Help us to fully know You and fully love You and fully trust You to the degree that we totally forget self. Folks, I hear people saying, I cannot give a Bible study. Why? I cannot preach. Why? I cannot do evangelism. Why? What if I don't do it well? That's pride. Who cares how you look? You don't look good anyway. What is the church going to say if I don't preach well? Who cares? God sent you to do it? Do it. Don't worry what people say. Let people say, they say it anyway. When God calls you, don't think about self. Think about what God said. You follow me? When you, should I go? How is going to be the outcome? That's pride. Or laziness. Say, Lord, I surrender. Help me to forget self. Help me to love You so much that I just... Jesus says, who doesn't give up mother and father, mother-in-law is the easiest one, who doesn't give up mother and father and this and that, cannot be My disciple. Unless you learn to give it all up, you are not a Christian. You cannot be a disciple. Unless you learn to give it all up, give it all up, give it all... Do you hear me? To give it all up, you are not a Christian. That's the reason real Christianity is not easy. Because you need to learn to surrender and to trust. Would you pray that prayer, Lord? I surrender. And I trust in You. Ellen White says, trust. Pastor, I don't feel faith. Trust, she says, is not an emotion. It's a mind decision. You decide to trust His word. You don't need to feel it. It's not electricity. Bzzz, oh, I feel I trust, you know. You don't need to feel it. You need to decide to trust His word. You heard me? It's a mind decision. Lord, I don't understand. I cannot do it. But I trust Your word. You don't lie. So I'm going to trust in You. That's it. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. I'll have the final closing prayer. Father in heaven, please forgive us that so many times we talk about You, but we are very focused on self. Our daily plans, everything we do and think is most of the time centered in self, while we think that we love Jesus more than anything. So, Father, please forgive us and help us to die to self daily. Help us to focus on You, to know You more, to love You more, to experience You more, to follow Your plans daily, to allow You to use us to be a light and reflect Jesus' love in a perishing world, in a hopeless world. Help us to allow You to use us to the degree that there will be more people saved because of Your work through us, more than we can even dream to pray for. Father, we pray that while we cannot do it in our power, You will help us to surrender daily and to trust in You daily, to allow You to work Your plan daily. We pray this prayer in Jesus' precious name, and we thank You for answering. We love You and we praise You. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's Word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.